Hey everyone. Hi TJ.
Hi Sister Joy. How are you doing?
How are you on this fine day?
I am wonderful. And you?
Wonderful. I'm pretty good. You know who's visiting me from out of town?
Oh, that's right. Sister Rosalyn.
Lady Rosalyn.
Is it Lady Rosalyn or Sister Rosalyn? I'm never sure which one it is.
Well, I call her both.
Okay.
But she was here last night with her husband, and she and I are getting ready to do channelings on Sunday. She's going to channel the Mother of the Magdalene, and I'm going to channel the Goddess Morgaine, and we're going to each present a part of our books, which is pretty exciting
mm-hmm.
stuff. You know? So we're going to do that Sunday night, and she's right now she's visiting her mom, so she's not here right now, but she will be coming back in town, and we'll do this Sunday night. It would be wonderful if you could be with us.
What time will you be doing that?
We're going to start at 6,
okay.
And it's here at my house in Pennsylvania.
I'll start leaving now.
Okay.
If I start walking. Let's see.
All right.
You want me there in spirit is what you're saying. Hmm?
That's right. You will be with us. Yeah.
Okay.
Your spirit will be with us.
It'll be glad
now,
to be there.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It'll be glad to be there.
Yes, yes. It'll be fun. I thought it was interesting how I was on the phone with you when she rolled into town, you know?
Yeah.
So that was perfect.
Yeah, that was fun. And I know you're trying to talk to her and get information, and you're listening to me at the same time. And of course, me being me, I'm trying to mess you up a little bit while you're listening.
No, it was perfect. I got messed up, confused, but somehow managed to do both calls at one time. And she laughed. I think it was important because it needed to be the full connection. You know how we're all connected.
Right.
And I think it was really a nice way to have her come in. And you've met her husband, right?
Oh, yeah, Kevin. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's a nice man. Yes.
He is a very grounded, enlightened spirit. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. He is a grounded, enlightened spirit. Have you seen his garden?
Yeah, remember I went to visit Rosalyn and I took pictures and I put it on my Facebook and I really was impressed.
Oh, yeah.
By it.
Hello?
No, I'm not here. Oh, we have somebody calling. We have somebody.
Okay, okay. you are here. I think we have a caller coming in. Is that right? Hello?
Hi, Joy.
Hi, Susie. How you doing?
I'm doing good, girl.
Good, good. TJ, this is Susie Mole. She is the director and the creator of a company called Remix, which takes gently used clothing and turns it into art you can wear. And she's also a team member for T-shirts for Peace. And she's multi-gifted. She's an artist. She's really cool. We love Susie, TJ.
Susie, it's really nice to meet you.
You're too kind, Joy.
I'm working on it.
It's really nice to meet you, Susie.
Well, nice to meet you too, TJ. I've heard a lot about you.
Don't believe most of it. Some of it's true.
Now, have you heard TJ on the air, Susie?
Yes, I have. I listened to a lot of his programs, thanks to you and your referral.
Yes, yes. And you listen to him on our show, too, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes,
okay.
I do.
Checking. So, we're on a roll today. I know we didn't really explain to the listeners what we were going to do today, but I thought we would just go into taking some questions from people. Does that work for everyone?
Sure.
Works for me.
Yeah? Okay. All right, and TJ, if you have anything you want to add along the way, please feel free. I know you're out of the box, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a few numbers I want to add, but other than that, right now I'm good.
Okay.
That was supposed to be a joke.
Okay. So, Susie, do you have a question or questions that you'd like to throw at us?
I do. We have a little doggie named Emma. She's actually my daughter's dog. And I would like to know what's in Emma's mind, of course.
Okay.
She was a rescue dog. So I was wondering if there was something she might need help with in the past with dealing with. And she's had a few health issues. If there's anything that I can help her with and what she thinks about her future with us.
Okay. So I'm getting a few hits on her. The first thing I'm getting is she never fully healed the abuse. There was some abuse in her history. And she's not a real big dog, is she?
No, she's a little dog.
She's a little one. And I get that because of her size, she feels intimidated by the people and anything that's taller than her. And in order for her to kind of feel like she has some sense of power, she'll yip. She'll talk a lot, I get. And she feels like no one understands her. She's got this thing that she feels like no one understands her or they don't fully see her. And she feels like she has to remind them that, yo, I'm down here. And if people don't get it, she'll like kind of go up and let them know. She likes to talk, doesn't she?
Oh, yes, she does, and she lets you know.
Yeah, well, that's what's going on with that. So there, I feel like there's a couple of things you could do with her. The first thing that's coming, because the emotional wound is in the heart, it feels like, you know how everybody has a chakra system, right?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like what you want to maybe do is go to her heart chakra when she'll let you pet her and kind of imagine yourself petting away the boo-boos and sending love, just sending love in there and telling her that you know she's there and you know that she's important. And this is part of the reason why she seemed to, she also with having gone through a shift with your dog making transition recently, she would kind of hide behind her. And now she's kind of feeling exposed and vulnerable too. So she's got this added thing that has come up. So it feels like what you may want to do is just consistently reaffirm to her how safe she is. How safe she is, how loved she is, and how she's seen. You said what she envisions for herself in the future. As soon as I checked on that question, I had this image of her running around in a yard in her mind. There's something with her being outside in the spring and needing to feel connection to the earth. But it's interesting because it feels like at the same time, she wants a human with her. She feels safe with. She doesn't want somebody just going away when she's outside because it's a safety thing, okay? The other thing is the reason she's Jessica's dog is because her wounds, she's dealt with some disruptions similar to Jessica. So her vibration really resonates with Jessica, where somebody else might not get Jessica and her connection the way it is, it's because of how they started out. So it's very interesting. She sounds like quite a character.
Oh, she is. And let me tell you, those two are just together. She and Jessica just love each other. They're so bonded. So
that's what I saw. And this bond is like, it's not... It's a vibrational bond, okay? But she doesn't get that people get her, generally speaking, as a whole, okay? As a whole. She's got this thing with that, okay? And you being understanding and having a sensitive nature specifically toward people that have dealt with abandonment or that kind of thing, if you go in and start working with her from a heart space it feels like vibrationally she'll start to settle down and get the message that she's seen and heard. I'm excited to hear how that goes for you guys.
Well, I think the heart chakra, I've been reading a lot about that, so I've been thinking about doing that for her. So that's interesting that you would say that, too.
Yeah, well, it's a validation that, yeah, go ahead. And I think the words that you say to her, when you speak to her as if you're talking to an infant.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because she had an eye infection, and I kept saying to her, I see you, I see you, I see you.
Perfect.
Because felt that she wasn't, feeling the love, especially after the other dog passed.
Yeah. And the eye, which eye is it? The left?
Yes, it was the left.
Okay, yeah. It has to do with her perception of, I want to say, she's got a whole lot of energy, okay? And there's something with her feeling like she needs to be active, and it feels like it's actually connected to, if she's active, she actually feels safe, okay? So one of the things you might want to say to her when you're sitting with her is, it's okay to change your perception on this now. You can just be with me and be safe, because I think it'll shift the energy in her eye. Okay? Because there's this thing with her, like, getting this message on some level, it's safe to relax.
All right.
Okay?
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome, Sue. Susie. So I will be seeing you Sunday, right?
Yes, you will. I'll be there. I can't wait.
Yeah, but TJ and I were just talking about Rosalind and I getting together for the channeling, too. So that's exciting.
Yes. TJ, are you coming in?
I will be there in spirit, yes.
You will. He's in Michigan.
Okay. But I'm looking forward to meeting you someday.
One thing I wanted to say, Susie, is that, what Joy is telling you, with the dog, and I've had like different pet psychics tell me things like this. Absolutely, with the words we choose, there was a story about a woman whose dog, she pampered it, did everything for it, took care of it, showed all this love and affection. And when the psychic talked to the dog said, I don't know if she loves me. She doesn't tell me that. Mm-hmm. So the words seem to have a lot of power as well.
They do.
And this is my daughter's dog, and it's like I'm just kind of rebonding with this dog since my dog has passed.
Mm-hmm.
So they were best buds, and I'm sure she misses her, and we're both grieving her. And it's interesting the way she and I are now interacting, and then we had this eye issue too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I feel you're right on target with the things you're doing, and I think the eye issue was to get people's attention, to draw in some kind of resolution. That's what she did, okay? Because she needs to start looking at some things differently, and she wants to be seen differently too.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. She's taken over the other dog duties. It's been amazing.
Well, I want to thank you for phoning in, Susie. I think we have Bonnie on the line, too, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Susie, I will catch up with you later, okay?
All right.
I'm sorry. What's that? I'm sorry.
Do you have anything you want to say?
Thanks for calling in, Susie, and welcome, Bonnie.
Okay. Thank you. Bye, Joy.
Okay.
Bye, Karen.
Jake. Bye. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. This is TJ. TJ, this is Bonnie.
Nice to meet you, Bonnie.
I just had one question we had discussed once before. How do you create in the void?
Okay, I'm going to get into the void a little, okay? And TJ, if you want to add anything, right, you know, jump in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you think of the great void as the womb of creation, all right, and it's nothing but a blank canvas, okay? And when something's a blank canvas, what it does, let's say, I want to give you an example. Let's say your bank account is empty and you want to create income. Having a blank canvas or a blank account, it gives you an opportunity to create, okay? So rather than looking at the void and being afraid and thinking, oh, there's nothing there, when you shift your intention to a space of this is an opportunity to create and manifest greatness from, whether it's money, love, whatever, healing, it's an opportunity to create from. So when, for example, when people meditate, they go into the quiet mind, and when they release the thought process, patterns and everything, they start to relax into the sense of emptiness, okay? From the emptiness, at that space in the emptiness, what you do is you start to add your thoughts and you put it, make an intention. I would recommend that you do it for the highest good in order with oneness and union because you want to create integrously, right? So you put your thought in, your intention, and that you're manifesting for the highest good. And you can take that intention and hold it in your heart, walk with it, be in stillness with it in the void, the great void, just sit in stillness, let yourself just be in it. And then after you're in it a while, you walk with it, ground it in. You can start drawing what you want, which puts it in the Akashic Records. And then you send it, you can actually send the energy of your vision into the earth so it's rooted strong. And you give it energy, and then you create whatever you're calling for. It will come. But you need to let go of an attachment. It's not the same as I'm going to call Joe Schmidt down the street to bring me a new coat. It's different. It's you go into this place of being, a place of being, and you're working from the feminine when you go into the void. Is that clear?
I do think I think I understand. Yes, I do.
Yeah,
but
does that make sense?
It's both emotional, visual,
mm-hmm.
and maybe mental. It's all three of those things when you are carrying the intention into this blank space or empty space.
Yeah, when you go into the empty space, I had an experience. Let me share the experience I had, okay? I had this experience one time where I literally wound up in the great void. I was at an event, and I was getting ready to meet this Indian guru. Her name was Amaji, and for some reason, the frequency took me to the great void. And I was standing there outside, and at that time in my life, I smoked cigarettes, and I was minding my own business, and everything disappeared. And I was puzzled, and I was like, well, this is interesting. I knew there was a house here 5 seconds ago and trees and ground, and I'm like, everything disappeared. Where'd it go, you know? So I paused, and I calmed down, and what came to me was, well, if nothing's here, I need to create a universe. So the first thing that came to me was, well, I want to ground. I figure I must need to do that if I'm standing in the nothing. I have to ground. So I envisioned a tree, and that's what came first, the tree. And then I went and put my roots in with the tree, and everything started to come back. So that's an actual experience from the void that I had. And it worked because the world came back, and, you know, I mean, I'm sitting here speaking to you. I figured there was success.
You wouldn't be here now.
It was the intention of what I needed to create. I started with intention, visioned it.
So suppose, does that work too with earthly things? Suppose I need to manifest a a job or, just like you said, income or anything else, if it's with good intention, you can just somehow put that desire in out when you're in the void?
Well, you can do that. And since, can I share freely? Because I know you a little
sure.
bit. So, I feel that that's the point of power for you, is to go into the great void, and I feel that's part of your experience right now. And I feel that that's really up for you, because what your soul is calling for you to do is to experience the limitlessness of its purpose and its beauty and its joy, okay? It feels like in some ways you feel you've been sitting on the back burner waiting for things. And this is drawing you to call your future in. So it feels like what you could actually do is sit in the great void and call in what you envision with integrity. You want to stay with pure intent, right? And
right.
Start to set, when you're sitting in the void, say, I am ready to experience my soul purpose and what I'm here to live, and start to envision what you feel passionate about, what you love to do. Let yourself feel it. Then walk with it, ground it, draw it, okay? Nurture it, all right?
Okay.
It doesn't have to be hard work.
You're probably right about just everything you just said. I think you're exactly right. You know, sometimes you question your purpose and you wonder if you've done all the right things or the things that you want. You feel like something's lacking or that you're lost, like you lost part of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try to get some of that back, and it seems to me like I've been, somehow I keep finding myself in this void, and I don't know. I think there must be a reason for that.
Yeah, I feel you keep going into the void because what's going to happen isn't going to take you where you used to be. It's going to help you leap into what you're intended to, where you're intended to be now. So your future, you're not going to find your future in your past. You're going to feel things from your past you may love, but it's going to define itself differently. And in that vibration, I feel the way it comes in, it's going to be a unique pattern. I feel it's going to be different. And I feel that that piece is the reason why you've been struggling for a long time.
That's lovely. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for staying on the planet. You know, some days are trickier than others, but you're still here with us. And bless your heart, you know. You'll do great things. So I want to encourage you to enjoy the process of opening to the void and letting yourself feel what excites you, okay? And considering that everything is possible, because it really is. It really
wow.
is.
Wow. Those are big words. Thank you.
You're welcome. Teej, you with us?
I am. And I just want to send you love and light, Bonnie, and wish
you
the best.
Thank you so much. Did you have anything you'd like to add?
It sounds like you have a little bit of a difficult journey going on right now. Hmm? And you've had that for a while?
I do, and I have been, yes. It's just not been easy.
And it's really, you know, Joy, aren't we the ones that really, everything is there for us to have. We're the ones, when it's not happening, we are the ones that are keeping it from happening, right?
Yeah, and it's the old conditioning, it's the old programming, it's the old thought processes, that's so true. And that's part of what's up is an opening to a new way of being for Bonnie. She's opening to that. But I think the other thing is realizing, like TJ said, that it is you. And for any of us, when we're stuck, it's us, no matter what the outside circumstances are. When we take responsibility or take the initiative, what happens is we're able to open to the resolution. That's what I'm encouraging you to do in the void, is take the bull by the horns, right?
Right.
Focus on that vision. So it means that It's not somebody's going to come and fix you, and it's not even about being fixed. It's about experiencing yourself from the present moment, making the choices that you're choosing, and nurturing that, opening to that.
And would you say, not just believing, but knowing, would you say that's important?
Exactly. Exactly, yes. So, and here's the difference between believing and knowing. Believing is a thought form. Knowing is a life experience. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. Consider living the life experience. And that piece is really great you called, because most people feel that having faith is the a piece, the only piece of the resolution, but the resolution also comes through the living of it, and that's what it looks like is on the table for you, is to live it.
I hope so.
And you have choices, right?
Right, of course.
Yeah. Teach.
Yeah.
I believe in you. I believe in you, Bonnie, and I guess it's everybody's got a different thing to walk, and we all have our whatever's in front of us, our obstacles, and they're not there by accident, that's for sure. So, and some of them maybe we brought in, but some of it's there by choice. So how do we move forward on that? We have to change it, right? We are the ones that are in control.
That's it. Yeah, Teej, you've had things in your own life that have happened like that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This last year has been a pretty bumpy ride, I might say. A little bit of bumpy. Not a bad bumpy. Not a bad, because I'm not going to use that power, give it that power. I'm not going to say, it's been changes, some bumps here and there. Nothing in life really is that bad when you think about it, because we go on eternally, don't we? And so this is kind of an illusion, and it's like, oh, my goodness, I just got run over by a grader or whatever happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I kind of like that look, you know, maybe that's not so bad. So how you respond to it is key. And then maybe keeping the joy in your heart, you know, that accelerates it, doesn't it, Joy?
I feel it does. I feel it raises the frequency and supports you from moving out of the stuck place. The joy is actually the gas to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You notice I said when you're in the void, focus on what you feel passionate about, what lights you up, because that's going to fuel you.
And then
create the joy, right?
And I also have another...
The joy, the passion.
I have another question, too. Should you go into the void when you're not feeling good about yourself? Maybe you shouldn't you go there when you're feeling really, really happy and full of joy and to bring these things forwards, not to, because that's going to affect it, won't it?
Well, here's the thing. The void is the womb of creation. And my experience with that is that our souls have made a choice when we would start to experience that. So the only thing that I suggest when it comes to the void is that when you're in it, that you realize you can release any fear you have about being in it and allow yourself to use it in a way that's going to assist you to serve. So it's, you don't tend to wind up in it when you're in the throes. And once you're in it, in my experience, it can feel comforting almost. Have you noticed that, Bonnie? That
I have when I realized what it was. See, I didn't realize right at first that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought there was something wrong with me because I had had that experience before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And suddenly I was in this and I was thinking, well, what does this mean? Does it mean like I'm totally dead inside and I'm not feeling anything, or, you know, but it wasn't like that when you explained it to me the first time. Then I was like, oh, that's what that is.
That's what it is. And and the crazy feeling goes away, doesn't it? It's like, boom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and, you know, I think I've read a lot of metaphysical material, of course, like most people maybe,
And I don't think that's something that's commonly been written about or that people, well, maybe in some of the Zen material, but it's not something that you commonly experience, so you have no reference for it.
I think that's totally true, yeah.
So, and, you know, until you explained it to me, I really didn't understand. I just thought there was something wrong with me because I'm like, what is this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I get it now.
Yeah, you do. And it's great to hear you laugh, I have to say.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. It's been rough, so you were really instrumental on that particular day that I called you.
Well, I'm so glad.
Which was so strange because we never talked. You know, it was just one of those things.
Yeah. I hear you, Bonnie. I do. I'm glad that you had the courage to pick up the phone and get a hold of Renia and then call me. And I'm eager to see how things unfold for you. And why don't you look at taking in what TJ and I said today and using that to support you with taking your next steps, okay?
I would love to do that.
Wonderful.
I'm going to have to go now, but I appreciate you taking the call and thanks a million. You've been wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, TJ.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thanks. It was nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Okay, TJ.
Now, we should have a third person, right?
Do we?
I thought I heard somebody there a little while ago.
I thought I did, too. Well, they came and went, but, you know, we only have less than a half hour left, and weren't we going to check in with Joan of Arc and see if she had something she wanted to share?
Yeah, I really like this idea that you have about going back and looking at, you know, especially, I'm sure you're going to look at a lot of different ones, but figures in our history, and history doesn't always record things accurately, you know. History is always told by the victors, I think. But I think she was just an amazing person, you know, and I bet there's so much more to her than what we heard about. Like there is with everybody, really. You know, and
absolutely.
I mean, Joan of Arc, she helped the French defeat, I think, the British at the time, was it? And she claimed to hear voices and told the French what to do and how they could defeat them. And so for like I think it was about a year or so, she was really on a roll in helping them turn the tide. And then eventually she ran into something where she could not win and everybody turned on her and then they burned her.
Yeah.
But still, what she did seemed to be very gifted from what I know of it. So it'd be cool to hear what she has to say.
Well, there's something I want to add to what you're saying that I just found out when I talked to Flo Magdalena. She was on our show last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our last show.
Yeah.
She was telling me that Joan of Arc was an aspect of Magdalene.
Really?
And
Well, that makes sense.
Isn't that wild?
That makes sense.
It does. And when just saying it just now over the air, I got chills.
Hmm.
So I feel like we may want to approach her and see if she has anything to say about that life or any other life, okay?
Interesting.
How's that sound?
Sounds like a blast to me. It does.
I just love that you're up for all this, you know?
Why not? It's we're learning. We're learning as we're going along. We're finding out things. You know me. I like all that, so.
Yes. And not only that, you know so much, you know. I'll be coming to see you for a reading soon.
We're still working on that right there.
I'm telling you. I'm your first.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just going to phone in, all right? I have a candle lit.
Okay.
And let's see what happens, okay? All right, I see her here, and she's on her horse, and she is, you know, I wanted to say it looks like instead of carrying a flag, she's carrying a torch, a fire. And I can hear her saying, I mastered the fire, I mastered the fire. And I can actually see, I'm getting these images of her death and things that happened, and I see that her soul was hovering outside of her body when she was going through the burn. The burn, it was like her soul left. So there was a sense of grace that came around and came over her to dissipate what would normally be horrific pain. So she was being lifted up. And she's showing me this image that how her soul is very vast, and she's reincarnated outside of time and space in many, many different ways, in many different aspects of different personalities throughout her story, not history, but her story. She's always come in as feminine. This aspect of her has always been feminine, and yet has held enormous power in dealing with political, religious figures and men in general. I see other lifetimes, like involved in battles and crusades and different things. I'm just seeing this image of her saying all the way down the line, things were lining up, and that she has had left her imprint in many things throughout history. In this particular history, though, she was called to come. This particular lifetime, though, she was called to come because there was the need of a feminine imprint in politics and in dealing with things with religious system. So the feminine imprint was trying to really come forward and make its mark so it couldn't be forgotten. And she actually says that you witnessed what happened with her.
I did.
And yeah, you did. And you were a confidant for her. And I'm getting a chill.
Me too. I just got one.
Yeah, you were a confidant, and you were the one who never doubted her and believed in her.
No, I never did.
And no, you never did. And there was something, and I'm getting these chills, and I'm hearing that what happened was you made an agreement with her that you would rectify her name, you would hold her name in high esteem, and after her death. And you did that. And in every lifetime since, you've done that. Every lifetime you were here, you did that for her.
She, for some reason, well, obviously I know now, has always had a good spot in my heart. And I always felt there was so much more, like there is with so many others, but I always felt there was so much more to her.
Yes, yes. And there was, this magnitude of spirit in her that wasn't seen by people. Because during that time, not only was she dealing with the issues with church and state, she was female, and she had to break out of the family mold, and she was dealing with community issues and all kinds of stuff. So there was a magnitude of light that she brought to the earth that people, almost from day one, except for there were moments, there was a priest that she would sometimes talk to, and this one connection with you where she was continually squelched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when she was in service, she had to fight. She had to fight. So she shows me this image of her coming back around in spirit, and there's a fluidity with her spirit that kind of goes in and out. And I'm hearing her say, I shall never be tortured again. I hear that. And I hear her thanking you specifically for the role that you played for her. And for continuing to keep your vow and promise to her. And I hear that you also made that vow, she says, to the Almighty. It was like to God. You made that vow to God for her. And you've done it. And it's interesting because this is right along the lines of the integrity, the way you work with integrity. Mm-hmm. So this has been with you throughout many lifetimes. This is really a big thing. And when you signed up together and you knew that, you knew that was part of the role you would play with her even before everything happened.
Right.
You know it.
Where is she now? I mean, is she, this being of her, I'm sure, is reincarnated. We're talking to what once, I mean, a part of, aspect of her that existed, but the soul has come back many times, I'm guessing, right?
Well, it has, but the image I got of her, I said there was a fluidity to her spirit. It came in, it went out. At this time, I get, you know, that what it does, her spirit, excuse me, it actually sparks people to waking up right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's her work. That's what she's doing. She's sparking souls to remember the light.
She was
waking people up.
She was canonized as a Roman Catholic saint at 25 years, I guess, after she, you know, they proclaimed her innocent 25 years and made her as to a martyr, and then she was canonized, and it says that she had visions of the Archangel Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what I'm curious about is how much more was there that we didn't hear about?
Okay, let me see what she says, okay? Oh, she also says that she saw the mother. She would speak with the mother.
Okay.
Some people would call her Mother Mary. Some people would call her the Great Mother.
Okay.
And her visions, they didn't just include Archangel Michael. There were more. But Archangel Michael came as a protector for her. I see this image that she had connections with Gabriel because she used her voice as a message, too. And Archangel Gabriel came to her when she would speak with different heads of state, kind of come through her. Because the way she had of presenting her messages, too, were spot on. They were very clear. So she had this combination of both male and female energies that came through her. And one of the male aspects was Archangel Gabriel as well. Her connection with Christ, it was emerging more than a connection. It was emerging.
Hmm.
So she truly came in as feminine but embodied both. And I'm asking her, wait a minute. All right, I'm checking too. I feel that she seems to want to say that when it came time for her to go, she stood strong in her integrity, and at the same time she was tired. And she was ready to go. And she had completed what she came to do. And that's the only reason she left.
And also, wouldn't it have been, if she would have, this is what I said one time, is kind of drawn a conclusion, if Gandhi would have choked on a hot dog, would we remember him? So, you know, if you go out in kind of a quiet way, are people going to remember that? So is that part
not
of...
Not always.
So sometimes... Yeah. You know, if you go out like she did, and others like Gandhi and those that have come before us, sometimes that's part of the, isn't that part of it? So we remember them?
It's part of it, but if you notice throughout history, a lot of powerful women have had, you know, like went out by fire or were drowned, and the elements were used. And the elemental forces of nature are revered through goddess traditions. So in a way, it's a way to merge back into the feminine, like you're jumping a step or something. It's not always an easy death. But usually when a soul goes like that, the soul will literally leave the body. Like she was saying, I saw her soul out of her body very clearly, very clearly.
And so she really didn't feel what was going on with her.
Not the full magnitude of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing was, remember, she was still a young girl. The biggest thing was the fear, okay? But the soul kind of, if you think of it like this, the angels that were with her constantly also kind of nudged her out, if you think of it like that. And she would get distracted and go into states of bliss, and you know, she would go totally out when she got her visions. And it was like that. She intuitively knew how to get out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So she had that going for her, and she had her team. So she was pulled out, and she made a choice to go out.
Now, you talked a little bit about her being here present more than once. Has she been back in other bodies that we might recognize, or is that something we can answer?
Well, I feel what Flo said about Magdalene. I really felt that very strong. I also feel that for some reason I'm getting that she was this aspect, this particular aspect of this soul. Also was a queen in England. I see that. And she ruled in a very unique way. There was a young queen that literally served with a young man. I'm not sure if her name was Catherine or not, but I'm getting this image, though. I remember seeing this story of this young queen in England who served with a young man, and they took the money that was given to them by the poor, and they took all that money and they went and bought food for the whole country. And this particular king and queen were not in office very long because the rest of the royal family had issues with what they were doing helping the people, you know.
Well, that's not supposed to do that.
No, they weren't, but it was, I wish I could remember what her name was, but I see this image and it really struck me. And this is what's coming to me, that this was who she was then. Okay, and hold on, I want to see. I feel too that she was also involved in helping when there was this split from the feminine path to the masculine hundreds of years ago. She was there when the temples were being destroyed, the goddess temples were being destroyed. And I literally see her in a circle, in a coven, or, you know, a circle of feminine women, very, very powerful feminine women that were in service to the goddess as the temples were being destroyed. And that is interesting because her seeing that, she had a deep understanding of the importance of honoring spirit, and it came first in that lifetime before this one. So that's interesting. And I did hear Atlantis pop up. She went back there. You know, I see Isis. So I feel Egypt. So she had many lifetimes in service, and it was all in service, it looks like.
Hmm.
Like, wow, you know?
So she was she very aware when she was when she was Joan? She knew.
Oh yeah, I get this. I saw this image, a flash of her at like 2, and she was sitting on this floor, and she had this little dress on, and I see that she had like a toy in her hand, and she looked up, and there was this angel, this huge angel, this big deity was there. So she always had that, very aware.
Did she have abilities to like heal others?
I hear she's telling me she could have done that, but that wasn't her calling.
Okay.
She needed to put her focus where it was. But when people were in her company, like her family, when her family would get sick, they found great comfort in having her there. Mm.
Very powerful spirit, and it's great to reconnect with her.
Well, the other thing was, I'm also getting that she could read minds.
Mm.
She could read minds, and she knew the intention of the people around her.
That's really cool. I knew there was something else I wanted to bring out about her.
Go ahead.
No, I was trying to think. There's something else I want to bring out about her, and the thing that popped in was healing. But the part about reading minds.
But she could do the healing. I'm getting that, but I'm seeing she's saying, but no, that wasn't her calling. The reading minds came in as a benefit, and it supported her with the work she was doing at that time. Because she was around so many people that were against her. She had a strong sense of what was motivating people this way, if she knew what was happening inside of them. And this is one way she knew about you.
Mm.
And it's interesting because I'm getting, and I'm going to chill again, I'm getting in that lifetime you wanted to marry her. You were the one that wanted to marry her, and she wouldn't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I was dating Joan of Arc. Woohoo!
You were trying. You were trying. Yeah.
No, I think, I don't, whatever the connection was, to me, it's just this, I just like, I think that she's had, was a great being, you know, that.
Well, she was.
And
she
there's
was.
Much more to her than we realize. And it's just the tip of the iceberg, like everything. And she was doing much, like you say, to bring back not only the divine feminine, but she was merging the two.
Absolutely. She carried both male and female. But I feel if you look in her history, you'll read about this guy that asked her to marry him. I'm almost certain. I'm feeling it. And I'm seeing her smile when I'm saying it.
Hmm. I have to look that up.
Oh, just something to think about, okay?
Okay.
Add it to the to-do list.
Yeah, I got a little bit to do.
Yeah. Now, at this point, let me see if she has anything else she would like to say, maybe about our current situation, okay?
Okay.
Who knows? Maybe she'll have some ideas about what we could do politically.
Hmm.
Okay. All right. She's showing me this image. I said, you know, this is what she's telling me. She tells me this aspect of her soul is, there's an aspect of her here on Earth. Remember, we all have different parts of ourselves. So, but there's a side of her on the other side that's working with the global conditions she's working from over there. And what she does is she sends, I can see her sending down these rays of light into situations that hold and have a whole lot of density. And she does that, okay, and it seems as if her energy from the other side was involved in helping to put light into things going with the Catholic Church that needed revealed surrounding the children. She would send light into this. This was something she really wanted to reveal, to help bring about the shift. So it's interesting. So she's still spreading the light and the truth from over there with things like this. And she shows me as well that she's not working alone, that she's working with a whole wave of conscious souls, and that she does, on a soul level, witness other lifetimes she has where she's doing other things. So she's not just in a human form. She's very conscious about seeing herself from the other side and how she's living out in other dimensions. So she's truly expanded, and she has a lot of input on how things are evolving. Okay, I asked her if there's any specific message she would like to bring through or say, and I heard her say just simply that love is the key. It's the key.
Mm-hmm.
She says it opens, it resolves, it manifests greatness, it is creation itself. She says, I send you my regards, and now I see her on this horse, and she's just turning, and she's carrying a torch.
Hmm.
And she says, I am the flame of truth.
Wow, that's cool.
And I saw her just ride into the light.
That was really awesome.
Yeah, that was. Wow.
Way more than I figured it would be. Well, not than I thought originally, but I figured we'd get a lot more than what I was expecting.
Well, it was interesting what she had to say. I normally did not think of, you know, talking to her, but understanding your connection now. Now I know why you wanted to do it.
Now I know why it popped in my head too, huh? Because it just popped in my head. I thought, you know, I think she would be cool to talk to. You know, I can't say that I've been obsessed with her all these centuries later. I got to get her phone number. Oh, wait, we didn't have one back then.
It wasn't that way. You just had such deep reverence for her, apparently.
Well, you said I wanted to marry her.
Marrying her might make it easier, you know?
Yeah. Well,
huh?
How do you call a spirit that's over 600 years old? You can't just dial them up on the phone. Hey, you doing anything tonight?
Well, see, maybe that's something you're going to master and teach the rest of us.
How to date people from history, famous beings of light. Yeah, I'm only going to date the light ones, though, by the way.
Well, that's good. Me too.
Yeah.
Only the light ones.
No, that's really cool. And then to me, that blows me away that you're saying that I was a part of that, because that was certainly not what I was thinking. But I guess there's always a reason. There's a reason we're drawn to that. I should have asked her what your connection was to all this. Dang nabbit. You know?
That's good. I'm glad. I like the fact that you just get to sit and give information.
I'm just saying, how was Joy connected to Joan of Arc? Because you probably, we've worked together many times, I think, in the past.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And so would you have been around at that time? Do you feel that you might have been?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I'm glad. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was told how many times I've been around. So I was around then.
So you were around at that time period. I'm just glad that Joan, the first words out of her mouth weren't TJ. You were the guy that started the fire. Now, wait a second.
Oh, God. No.
You were the guy with the torch. I know you.
No, it wasn't you. You know, it was so amazing, though, because when she was sharing about your connection, I was getting these chills up and down. And if I'm getting chills when I'm doing a reading, it's like, oh, yeah, this person really, really needs to get the truth in this.
Mm.
You know? I feel that part of the reason why you jokingly even say that is because on some level you felt responsible. Because usually when people experience something like that, there are certain levels or feelings that you get that come up.
To be honest with you, I felt guilty for not doing more.
Exactly.
To release her and even being willing to give up my own life to try to help her. Because you're in a helpless situation.
Yes.
And you know there's nothing you could do, but if you were chivalrous, you could pull out your sword and go running up there.
Yeah.
But that would be kind of a waste.
But no, that's really important that you came out with that, because that's true. That's exactly what was inside of you at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling, you know, when we have unresolved feelings like that in one lifetime, it follows us from one lifetime to the next, to the next. So we may be reacting to things or feeling responsible or bad about ourselves for something that happened like 25 lifetimes ago, you know?
Right, and that's what's holding us back. That's what's blocking us, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So I think this is really wonderful that you, and it's interesting because you thought of her.
Mm-hmm.
You did.
Right.
And now it makes sense, you know, you're like coming full circle and you're realizing that, you know, that was her mission, what happened, and there was nothing you could have done to alter that because that was in the design. It was in the design.
If I would have had a machine gun back in those days,
I know.
I could have made a huge difference.
TJ, you still made a huge difference. You always do. You are truly a gift to us all.
And I know that I joke about it, and you know, at the time it was really intense, but I know that it's not intense anymore. Her message is good. Her message is intense.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure Joan would look at it and go, you know, it's not a big deal. None of us would probably look at it. It's not a big deal. It's part of what I went through.
Absolutely. After you get through, like, the really hard stuff in your life, and you have this sense of integration with it, you're freed up from it. You're not carrying it. You're not living it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
That is pretty cool. Thank you very much, Joy, for doing that.
You're welcome. So I think our time is almost up, isn't it?
Yes, I believe it is. And I believe we were going to end on, I don't know if you're going to talk about a meditation or T-shirts for Peace. Or
Oh, yeah. I just would like to end by, how about if we, first I want to thank our listeners for calling in. We're so happy to have you with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like for us to just put our right hand on our heart and our left hand on top and send the love in your heart into your right hand, up your right arm, around your shoulders, down your left arm, into your left hand, and let yourself just feel that love that is you. And now let's just send that love out to all the souls in the universe with an intention for each soul to recall the oneness and remember we're all connected and we're all equal. And on that note, we send our blessings and invite you to listen to next month's shows and enjoy your days each moment. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for letting me be a part of this.
What a journey. Thank you.
Thank you.